Welcome to More Than Meets These Guys and My Glory.
Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series with two and sometimes three old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together we will go episode by episode to look at how the show holds up or if it's a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there are real world factors that crept into the writing or if the episode is typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan. I'm a lifelong fan. He's familiar with all aspects of the franchise. Jehu here is also a lifelong fan with a big pause in the middle and coming back. And Ed was always aware of Transformers. There was really nothing he got into when he was younger. So thank you for being here with us. And boys, we're finishing up season two here.
We have one more. No, we have one more after this.
No, this is the end of season two.
I thought there was like an Aerial Bots one or something like that.
Aerial Assault, we already did.
Oh, okay.
It was out of order for some reason. It was way out of order.
Gotcha. This is the last one?
Yeah, yeah. It ends with a bang, doesn't it?
Wow.
Guys did it. You made it.
Not yet. We have to do the movie.
But you played it through a big chunk of it. And I really feel like, you know, I didn't know if this episode would have any real significance, but it really felt like the two-thirds mark through a Scorsese movie. From a background standpoint, in that, you know, like, things haven't went wrong yet, but there is just so much cocaine hubris in this episode.
Man.
These are people who are succeeding and just think they cannot fail.
So, before we delve into that, speaking of hubris,
mm-hmm.
and the hubris of man and what he can do with science, is today I finally found the fried chicken ice cream. Are you guys familiar with the fried chicken ice cream?
No. I'm learning existence right now.
So I like a couple times in the last couple months, I would see on like Instagram or something like that. It would be like I'm just scrolling and it looks like a bucket of like a knockoff KFC bucket of chicken, like a white and yellow package of fried chicken, like in a bucket, which like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, but I keep seeing it. I'm like, what? Why is this? Who's this? Who does this yellow bucket chicken or whatever? It turns out it's ice cream. It looks exactly like fried chicken.
That's not okay.
It looks like breaded, and then you bite into it, and so it's like the outside is like a waffle cone, like a
right.
Okay.
And then the inside is vanilla ice cream, so you get the white. But then I'm looking closer, and like it's got like a bone in there. And like apparently the bone is like a cookie or there's like a Twix in there or something like that.
Oh.
I'm like, I need this because like I love the Choco Taco. Like I'm a fan.
The Choco Taco's great.
That's top notch. And we had friends that ran the taco place in the mall back in the day when we were in the mall.
Taco Casa, yes.
Trading.
The center of the University Mall bartering system, yes.
Right, exactly. And so we could just get Choco Tacos at our leisure. They were just there to be had for free any day of the week. And all you had to do was come off whatever, you know, like I worked at Pizza Place, so I could just come off pizza and I got all the tacos and Choco Tacos I wanted and all the movies I wanted. You were the lord of the movie theater.
Right.
So, and every that bar system was amazing. So I miss those days because no inflation there. You know, it's not right. it's not like one day I come to you and I'm like, hey man, I want to see the Phantom. And you're like, today it's two slices of pizza. Movies are more expensive now. So
well, the great thing for me was everybody else in the bartering system had a product that could be inventoried.
Hmm.
Right. I did not. I just had an empty seat.
Most of the time when I saw the movies there were very few people there anyway.
Right.
So yeah. I mean, like, and I figured that I was like, well, hey, I'm getting the movie for free, so I don't mind shelling out, you know, $4 for a soda, which was the price of soda back then.
Right.
$3 for me. Yeah, but you see what I'm saying. But yeah, that's a good point because like sometimes, you know, you'd make friends with those guys in the CD store.
And right.
Those dudes were like, I don't know, yeah, man.
They were. I felt bad. I felt bad for Sound Shop was the last one standing, right? Sound Shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could. It was all guys we knew, but they couldn't participate in the bartering system at all.
All you could do was get the promo stuff. I remember a mutual friend of ours once gave me a giant Bad Brains poster from when they signed to like Madonna's record label.
Right.
So I had like the Bad Brains thing. Hey, but this fried chicken ice cream though, like I found a this crazy Asian market that's not far. Most of them, for Pensacola people, they're all the way on the other side of town. I don't want to go over there.
Right.
There's one on my side of town,
Really?
by the theater you worked at, actually. And but they have the chicken ice cream there. You can just get it. It's there. It's all to be had. And so I went over there and I got a whole bunch of them. And I'm very excited to be done with this episode today so that I can eat dinner and then have the
Oh,
chicken.
so you haven't tried it yet.
I haven't tried it yet. No, but I
Man,
did get it.
I'm very excited because I'm an enthusiast for mixing sweet and salty. I think you know this, Ed, because I had Bill Stevenson, the drummer from The Descendants, cutting promos on me in an IHOP because I like to salt my French toast. You
Yeah,
know?
you were telling
So the world has finally caught up with me as far as mixing sweet and salty. So I'm excited to hear about this product.
I'm a fan of Hawaiian pizza because I like the pork and the pineapple together is delicious. And
It's
the
the
thing is,
citrusy acidity, man. That's what it's all
see,
about.
for a long time, I thought that I hated pineapple. For I thought I hated pineapple, but it turns out I don't like canned pineapple. I love like fresh pineapple. The best thing on earth is delicious. So,
Well, yeah, canned pineapple is like too sweet. Like as soon as you take a bite of that, a tooth falls out.
Yeah, well, they just pack it full of like corn syrup and stuff, and all you need is the natural sweetness of the
Exactly. It's plenty sweet on its own.
it's deli and it's delicious. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of you're saying that the fried chicken ice cream. I was really hoping you were going to bring it up to this. Years ago, my ex-wife is from Maine, and apparently every year they used to do lobster ice cream. They would do this butter, like little bits of butter, and like probably like whatever frozen lobster stuff, and make ice cream out of it. And it was a whole delicacy. They think they go up there and like, well, we're in Maine, we might as well have some lobster ice cream. Terrible. Worst thing you can possibly imagine. I'm like, think, please, please don't be fried chicken in there. Please, God. I'm relieved. My faith in man is
I don't
restored.
know. Even with my love of mixing sweet and salty, I don't know if seafood and sweet is what I want.
I even like butter, like chunks of butter. It's like fried butter. I can't even imagine eating fried butter, but ch little chunks of butter in your vanilla ice cream just sounds all awful. No.
See, I think foodies are BS. I think everybody either wants salty butter or sweet butter. That's the two flavors. You
Butter's
don't think you do, but I
delicious.
mean, really, sweet butter is cake.
Oh
Right?
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Like
Butter's
you don't actually want to pour sugar on a stick of butter and take a bite of it. But
man,
you want some pie, and that's sweet butter.
I made some honey butter toast for my wife today. Like get a little honey in there, a little butter, like oh it's
See, there you go.
perfection.
And then it's barbecue sauce. It's just sweet and sour. It's just salty and sweet
Yeah,
together.
you go like a little more of that tangy in there. Yeah, you get the barbecue sauce. It's perfect.
I tell you what's not perfect though is BOT.
You mean Biotronic Operational Telecommunicator?
So this is an Earl Kress episode. We've talked about Earl Kress in the past, but we're going to talk about Earl Kress some more right now.
Please.
So he wrote about seven, I think seven episodes of Transformers, including The Ultimate Doom, which I remember being a pretty good episode. I think was a pretty good episode.
Well, it's obvious in this episode he wrote The Ultimate Doom because they just go back to that
But yeah, that's true.
for
But
kind of the
not.
second episode in a row.
Yeah.
He wrote Desertion of the Dinobots, but then
Oh,
he also wrote Hoist Goes Hollywood and Make
oh,
Tracks.
moist.
Make Tracks, I actually kind of was a fun.
It's fun.
Wasn't
We
good, but it was
used
a
to make
fun
fun of it a
episode.
lot, but it's actually a fun episode. It's not bad.
Hoist Goes Hollywood is also one of my favorite episodes as a listener.
Yeah.
But
Oh, okay. Good. Oh, right on. I'll have to go back and find that one.
you guys just sounded like you had been abused in that episode.
At that point in season two, we had been.
This is it's been a slog, man. It's been a slog a lot of sometimes it's been a slog. But he's the dude that has that crazy web page that looks like it was built in 1997
Oh,
with
yeah.
weird graphics that match up. So go to Earl Kress's website if you didn't last time. Go there on a desktop and scroll on that. And you'll see what I mean. It's real cool. But see, something I noticed today when going back to that site and scrolling like I was on Netscape Navigator.
Oh, yes.
His resume there is weird. Like under here, there's a section for motion pictures and direct-to-video movies, and he has listed the following things here. He has Wacko's Wish, which is an Animaniacs thing,
Oh, yeah, Wacko's
right?
Wish.
Yeah, he has a Little Go Beep, which is a Looney Tunes direct video thing, and Tom and Jerry Meet Sherlock Holmes. But the dude left off that he was a writer on The Fox and the Hound, like one of that era's best Disney animated movies. And to this, I mean, dude, he got to work with, I mean, he wrote a thing for Kurt Russell playing a fox. I mean, come on, that's the first thing. I said, bro, I wrote Kurt Russell playing a cartoon fox. This is great for me. But he wrote a bunch of Pinky and the Brain and Tiny Toons. And I'm gonna say, I know that those shows are well loved, but I'm gonna say here that those weren't for me back in the 90s. When they were a thing, they weren't for me. I missed all those things because I kind of watched Batman animated series and I caught Gargoyles every now and then. And I watched anime back then. I watched not like you're thinking of anime. I watched like Robotech. Which, hold on to your seats. We got some more to talk about that in a little bit. But okay, so do you guys remember back in the 90s that there was a certain subset of the population that wore these t-shirts that had like Looney Tunes characters in like gangster clothes?
100%, yes.
People, so they're like the forefathers and foremothers of the people that you see in Walmart wearing like Cookie Monster pajama pants at like noon
Right.
on the
Checks
street.
out,
And
yeah.
there's a good chance that they also have a tattoo of Tinkerbell or Taz, not the wrestler Taz, mind you,
No,
the Tasmaniac, but like the Tasmanian devil. So for that reason, in the 90s, I really always kind of tried to miss Looney Tunes back then, and I hated it because I love Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes is great, and that made me really want to miss that. So I never watched Tiny Toons or much Pinky in the Brain. I would catch it every now and
See,
then.
I was a
You guys
big
are Looney
fan of
fans?
Animaniacs, and I kind of resented that Pinky and the Brain had left them in the lurch, that they had moved beyond them in popularity.
They really did. That was a point because, well, it's like we talk about a lot where people just want to say the catchphrase and
Right,
like,
exactly.
and it's the catchphrase and like, hey, when are we gonna take over the world? Like, awesome, awesome. So yeah, so you guys are just Starscream and Megatron is all you really are. So yeah,
But
wow.
yeah, that I do remember Taz and Tweety Bird were specifically sort of gangsta co-opted in the 90s. I didn't want to in nerdy white guy voice ask, so I just acted like I knew, but I really wanted to know. I can see Taz, but why Tweety?
This you guys have reminded me of a complete subculture that I tried to forget, so thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Tweety was kind of, well, Tweety, that's the thing. Tweety was kind of gangster though, because Tweety would he would bop Sylvester over the head with a bat a lot of,
That's true.
he was a hard man. It's like Taz, like the wrestler Taz. He was a hard man. He didn't care. No neck and suplex machine. Like that was Tweety, man. He was hardcore. Barbed wire. Whatever you got.
Back to an original point I made when we first started. Isn't a slang for cocaine Krell? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I
Where's he
think
been hanging
there's a
out? That sounds like one of those. Th That sounds like something from like Stargate or something like that. When they have like a fake drug, hey man.
Okay, I'm gonna withdraw this line of questioning because I think
No,
maybe you're right.
it
I
stays
probably got
in.
that from like Battlestar
It stays
Galactica.
in.
Like, hey man, they're doing Krell down in the barracks, dude.
Yeah,
Um,
but I was
the
just saying, Kress, Krell, they're kind of alike.
Krell. So I'm gonna get off my Krell trip here and go into the episode though. So we start off with the city scene. Y'all know that I love the city scene, so I'm
Oh,
very
yeah.
out of the gate. I'm excited here. So there's a place called TA She, and I don't know what goes on in that building, but the logo, it looks like a save icon almost. Like you save a file there on your computer. So I don't want to go in that building. I don't want to go.
No.
I don't know what
It's like
happens.
some bad Total Recall knockoff in there. It's
Yeah, you
never
never
gonna be
know.
good.
You never know what might
Yeah.
happen there. So
Man, I'm excited to see Bruticus in the beginning of the
just right off the bat, for no reason, nothing's going on. Form Bruticus.
Dude, so
Okay.
Right before he forms, there's a cool guy here. He's reading a newspaper. He's got his legs crossed. He's wearing a good looking suit, like a denim colored suit. So I like to imagine that he's dressed like Mr. Roper from Three's Company, like a denim suit. This guy's cool. But there's also like right after that, there's a they cut to a shot of what I think is supposed to be like a sexy babe, like an 80s like
Oh,
babe.
yeah.
And she's terrified of the shadow of a transformer over her, but like the animators took a lot of time to draw how well endowed this
Yes,
looks.
100%.
She's on the screen for like a second, and they were just like, "Oh yeah, man, we're gonna make these U's on her chest real big here." So that was
Like,
fun. But yeah,
again, was uncomfortably long. my thesis, cocaine hubris. That's what this episode is. Also, right before he forms, the Combaticons are just all four driving down the street, with a space shuttle and a helicopter
They were the same in a shuttle
driving
the
down
same
the street.
size. They were driving four like five abreast.
Yes, they
They
were.
picked up the whole road. It was like a takeover, if you know what those things. Where these dudes just
Oh.
go nuts in an intersection. That's what these guys were doing here. So, but dude, so Brutus forms out of the gate. Like, there's no, like you said, I have no idea what this guy's plan is, what he's trying to accomplish here. He's just like, hey man, just form Bruticus, and I'm like. Yes, because he's the best, like I said before, he's the best combiner, and I'm excited that he's just forming out of the gate. This is awesome. But
But
dude, so Defensor pulls the most cold-blooded thing. He just walks up, pulls a pistol out, shoots him, and blows him up into components, and then he pulls a Han Solo and he turns around to find some citizen and he goes, call sanitation, there's some junk on the street, and he just walks off.
trash talk this early.
It was so awesome. This is great.
The thing is, like, right when that happened, I thought he would turn around or was running away. I forgot what happened there. He like shoots him, blows him up, and takes off. Like,
He just like didn't do anything. And like who but me, I don't know who he is.
Right.
There's
We
no
this is
role.
the first time we've ever seen him.
Yeah,
Well,
we've
we've
you
seen
saw
him
him in
in
like
the
last episode. He showed up and that was
Well,
it.
no, I don't think they formed Defensor in the
Oh
last
no, they
episode.
didn't. That's right.
They
It was the
were
only
just the
time they would
protective
ever
op.
seen him. No, they just showed up. All right, shoot him. Let's go.
It really felt like this was the end to a different episode.
It did.
That.
It really. Well, I mean, you could almost say that it was like. Well, no, because it was like at the end of the last one. They reprogrammed Bruticus, and now Bruticus is just like on his own, and we're gonna get to the. He had like his own headquarters in
I
this episode.
know. How about that? You don't need a fire station for these guys. He's got their only hole in the ground. It's fantastic.
So the Decepticons are like plan or like plotting here though. So they have a plan that they're using a simulation where they're trying to knock a moon out of orbit to affect the tides so that they can supercharge hydroelectric dams and make more energon.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
This is where my racist uncle got the idea for weather satellites, I guess. He's like, there's real Decepticons out there playing in the weather, that's what happens. That's all we get hurricanes.
I don't have anything to add to that. I don't know. That sounds good. I
How
was
about
trying
you,
to think.
Randall?
I was
What
thinking some way to add to that, but there's nothing. That ends it fine. Well, I mean, it definitely it was, again, it was the same bit as the Ultimate Doom. You
Yeah.
instead of bringing a planet into orbit, you move a planet out of orbit, and then you get, disasters.
And no surfing
No surfing Autobots. So what's
Autobots.
even
This
the
episode
point?
would have been 10 times better with some surfing Autobots. That would
No.
have made my day. But I guess Skywarp finds the Combaticons headquarters in the desert, and he's like, Captain Obvious here is there's a trail of parts. What do I do? And Megatron, on the trail, dummy.
But, well, I mean, I think before that, doesn't Swindle go sell all the parts of his friends?
Yeah, he goes
Everyone,
well.
all of his friends get blown up and said for him, and his immediate first thought is, I'll just sell these guys.
Yeah, that's Swindle, man. Love
Yeah.
it. He's like the one guy who like, oh well, no, no more use to me. Maybe I'll go see El Presidente on the boat. There's a barge parked at the harbor where there's a dictator living in there with missiles and guns.
Right.
All kinds of them. I thought we were going to Carbamia here, and I was like, I'm like,
Not
oh
far off,
man.
man. We're getting close to that whole feel. Dude, It's just like so the ruler of another nation just hangs out at our docks
By himself.
just by himself. Like, he
He
doesn't
doesn't
even
even have
have
an alley
security
with a gun.
detail.
Yeah, the security guy's like, there's an unmanned Jeep coming your way. He's like, no, it's a friend of mine. Let him in, let him in. I don't know if this guy's supposed to be Middle Eastern or Mexican. I can't tell. He's something.
Well,
He was what I call vaguely ethnic.
yes.
Could have been any ethnic you have hard feelings towards if
So,
you're a redneck.
me basically. Well, let's see what you look like.
Right.
Well, yeah, you put on a uniform with like medals and stuff, like fake medals on the sash. Yeah, it's you.
But the thing is every accent in this is just Borat. It's every because there's like some Arabs that come in later on, and this is funny because he's st like is it Swindle stealing parts off of these jets that I guess in the Middle East, and there's just guys in like turbans and robes standing there on the runway just yelling at him, and like they sound like more Borats, and I'm like, I saw Arabs and I was like, oh, this isn't gonna age well
Where
at
did he get
all.
his transport? His helicopter and his spaceship have both blown up.
How did he get there?
Yeah.
Yeah, how
I
did he get there?
mean, yeah, he obviously drove there, man. He drove there, but no other explanation needed.
I mean, dude, look, dude. I've been rewatching Game of Thrones lately, and in like the last two seasons, man, it's like everybody skates around Westeros. So it's like I got travel is just like whatever, man. But so they take Swindle, and so the whole thing that's going on here is that Megatron's trying to get Swindle to reform Bruticus as their. I guess they're going to use him to knock the, I guess knock the moon out of orbit.
Yeah, like fly on with a disruptor or in space and do the
I don't know why they need him. They got the Constructicons. They can do it with the Constructor and with
they don't
the Stunticons. They
okay
got
first
miners.
they don't want to play pay the labor costs of their union for the Constructicons. They're not going
That's
to do
true.
that.
That's true.
Stunticons are
Yeah.
too untrustworthy right now, and we're trying to sell some Bruticus toys, man.
Yeah,
So
true. Well, but they put a bomb in Swindle's head, like in the Running
yeah.
Man, and that was cool because I'm a fan of the Running Man. As we talked about the last 14 episodes.
I mean, again, cocaine hubris. Somebody had just watched The Running Man and been like, okay, bomb in the head. We're
I
putting
think
that in this
Running Man came
episode.
out after this. Was after this. Running Man's like 88 or 89.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Well,
That
maybe they
late?
just
Running Man
read
came
The
out
Running Man.
right when Total Recall came out. And that came out in like 90, I think. So,
Yeah, it seems like such a departure, like Running Man to the Total Recall. It seems like such different eras, but maybe not.
those movies to me go together like peanut butter and jelly. Like,
Oh, they're great.
I think those movies complement each other and they go together like you like that's the box set right there. That's all you need. Schwarzenegger sci-fi. That's it.
I mean, I could see I like to see a Running Man show with like Swindle as the host because it sounds the same kind of thing, man. The so yeah, the, there, he's gotta find all the parts because yeah, Megatron's like have the Combaticons form Bruticus and they all like gather in a huddle and like Swindle's like no, bro, come here. He's like your drunk uncle at a picnic. No, man, come on, uncle, over here. They try to make him form Bruticus, and they all fall apart because they have no idea what they're doing. Apparently, without Brawl's personality component, they can't do it.
I guess that's missing one part of
You gotta have
Bruticus's mind,
it.
so they can't do it.
Megatron's like well, Swindle, he yells at him and says, "I didn't think he would miss it. It's just Brawl's personality component."
I feel like they, like, again, backseat screenwriter, but I feel like there was a way more efficient way to get to Brawl lost his personality component without all the stuff we've seen before this. Like, this was a really complex point to get to that thing.
The whole thing is a big complex thing to get to something else, and a lot of it ended up just like not mattering in the end anyway. But see, if this episode was slightly on any rails at any point, this is where it goes like basically like completely off, like off the rails. And so we go to a high school, and we have this cartoon fat guy teacher, and
Who
he's got
I named Professor Bumble Spider-Man
Bumble Spider-Man.
because he didn't even bother to disguise his voice. That was Bumblebee's voice, which is
Oh.
also Spider-Man's voice.
Oh wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
My good catch. I missed that completely.
So th there's two bad kids in this class though, and one of them kind of
Boy,
looks.
are they bad kids.
One of them isn't though, is the thing. We'll get to that in a few minutes because one of them looks like Chucky, and he is actually bad. The other one is okay, is okay though. But so they, I guess they turn the intensity up on this desktop laser the teacher has, so he shoots the whole stack of
Like
bullets.
most high school teachers have,
Yeah.
Yeah.
desktop lasers.
So also the Earl Crest just watched Real Genius also because like a couple smart kids and turning up a laser. Yeah.
Oh, and we're getting to another property he's a big fan of too, but keep going.
Well, they get in trouble, so they get assigned to have to do the science fair and to get the blue ribbon in the science fair, which like all right, but they as a oh gotcha as a Columbo, oh one more thing, you're gonna get teamed up with Synthwave Velma, and it's like so they have to partner with this girl, and it's just like oh no, not her.
Oh no, she's the worst.
Like,
And you know what? At first seems sexist, but as the episode goes on, they're kind of right. She's kind of the worst.
she really is. She's
She's
pretty
really
awful.
annoying.
There, she
Why
kind
is
of
her the
reminds me.
worst?
There was like April O'Neil's friend in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. Reminds me of her, like a younger version of her. What was her name?
Yeah, she was
Oh,
she had some
Mouchy.
really bad speech patterns
Yeah.
in this, like I took some like oh, she hey Optimus Prime, we're here to help, or hey, we should do this, don't you think? And
I
there's a
mean,
part.
is this patient zero? Is this the first time we've been presented with autism as a superpower?
Oh
Because
man.
I think that's what this is.
It made, I don't know how many Stephen King books were out before this, but yeah, you may be correct. But she's later on, she says, "You're right. He's right." Like it was like, so they're arguing that they don't want to work on this. They don't want to partner with her for the science fair, and I'm like, look, if I were one of these bad, if I were one of these bad kids, and like they got teamed up with a smart girl, I'd be like, yeah, let's do the project together, and
Right.
you go ahead and do that project while we're gonna sit over here and look at the cover to Iron Maidens Somewhere in Time over and over again.
Light firecrackers, whatever bad kids
Right,
did in the
yeah,
80s.
exactly. Yeah, we're gonna spin the Crucifix, our what was that, Sacrifix album backwards and summon some demons. But they're arguing, and then like the Paw Patrol shows up to start to put out a fire on this building because like basically the Printobots are just Paw Patrol at this point.
It's funny too. Like we like they show up and now they're everywhere. You can't get rid of them. They're in every scene of the last two episodes. So yeah, they go to the junkyard to find parts. And this is this after Swindle gets picked up by Swindle got picked up. Okay, that was before this. So they all go to the junkyard and are digging around trying to find something. She finds this like piece of I don't know tech. She's like, hey, how about this, guys? No idea what it is. And apparently that was
It might
Brawl's
be useful. It might be
personality
useful,
button.
she says.
Yeah.
And
And they go back where they have this are they did they break into the school and putting together a bot?
they
They go
did,
back
yes, they break
they
it.
go back to the school, yeah. And
Did you
they put
guys catch the name of the high school? Oh,
I
I
did
did.
catch the name of the high school.
I that's when the episode, even though I'm not saying this is a good episode, but I really turned around with the MASH reference.
See, I almost didn't catch it, and I was like, wait a minute, because it kind of hits you like a wave, and you're like, oh yeah, Benjamin Franklin, and then whatever. But then like Ironhide says, well, that's a funny name for a defense establishment, and you're like Benjamin Franklin Pierce, and you're like, oh, that's Hawkeye's
That's
from
Hawkeye. That's
his name.
Hawkeye.
Oh
And
yeah.
the thing is, again, somebody, cocaine hubris, is like, you know what? I like MASH. Let's just do MASH in this episode. We'll have these two guys that
Like.
they're kind of progressive, but they also think women are just annoying and for rubbing. And
Oh,
we'll just we'll
we'll
they'll
get
be
into that.
Hawkeye and BJ, and we'll
Yeah,
do
checks
that.
out.
Yeah, so that, but they build this robot that looks like something from like Labyrinth or something. Like he's round
Well,
and
maybe, yeah, it's terrible. Or like the sequel to like oh God, The Wizard of Oz. All that clockwork thing that was terrible.
oh
Do you all
yeah,
remember that? Oh, it looks like that. It's awful.
Return to Oz with Frizzle Ball.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
I have a soft spot for that movie. Do you know that at one point I had a choice between watching Back to the Future and Return to Oz, and I chose Return to Oz.
Like, what do you mean?
That
Have a choice to like
I
it's.
mean, like they were both playing at a movie theater. They were both
Ooh.
on the marquee. Mom
Well,
was
I mean,
dropping me and my stepbrother off, and I was like, well, I recognize Oz. Let's watch Return to Oz.
see, I was about to say that, like, I don't think that I can really fault anybody for that choice because, like, I came out in 85, so I would have been 10. I think you're like a year older than me, so if
Right.
you were like 11, and like you had, it, like, every year, you know, we had watched Wizard of Oz on TV because
Right.
it came on every year, once a year,
Right.
and it was like a thing, you know, like, oh,
Right.
it's, you know, before Thanksgiving, so let's watch. So this is on TV, we're gonna watch. It was back before everybody could just watch every movie at any
Right.
second, you know, it was like, you
I
know, you
mean,
had to wait for it, but that from
again, I only know it's a dumb decision in retrospect because at the
a
time I didn't know what a Back to the Future was. I
No, I mean,
could have
that was
saw
kind of a
Back to
slip.
the Future in the theater, but I didn't. But I didn't know that I would have been seeing Back to the Future in the
Right,
theater.
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, no, I can dig it. I mean, it's like, I don't know, like, I mean, look, man, I picked to go see Megaforce over E.T. and Blade Runner when I was a kid. Not that I would have gotten Blade Runner, but I was
Oh
like, I
God,
saw
Megaforce.
it was Han Solo in another movie, so I was excited about it, so.
I feel like, no, it wasn't here, but I've talked about this recently, but I can top anybody's bad decision.
Oh,
Oh,
okay.
that's
You
saying a
want
lot. You want to hear topping a bad decision? I chose not to go see Fugazi to watch Brian Bosworth in Stone
Oh,
Cold.
gold! Oh my God, man! You know, I had the Brian Bosworth tennis shoes in high school that I wore for like 2 years. Yeah, I was a fan of that dude back in the day, and
We had that great haircut.
he had a
Well,
fantastic
yeah,
haircut.
we
He
all
looked
were
like
for like a week.
a wrestler. He looked like a pro wrestler.
Yeah, he looked
He
like a. I
looked
don't know
so
why he
incredible.
never went into wrestling. He had the
I
look
know.
and the personality for it.
Yeah, totally. Wow. So, what's sad about that is, I know the show that you're talking about.
Night
I
Owl.
know the show that you're talking about because that was my first punk show. Actually, was
Right on.
was that? Yeah, I've been to shows before, but it, like, that was my first like punk band that I ever saw.
We just
And
got there late and it was so crazy. And
oh,
I
it was.
think we had saw another crazy show very recently that we couldn't just, I think maybe it was Bad Brains,
Okay.
that it was just so crazy that you couldn't enjoy the show. So we're like, you know, smurf it. We'll go watch a movie.
I probably lost 10 pounds of sweat at that show.
Right.
So crowded and so hot in there. But yeah, so they build this robot, and so the one kid, the non-Chucky kid, calls it. He gives it a name. He's like, "Hey guys, we're gonna call it the Biotronic Operational Telecommunicator. It's an acronym. It spells out bot, like the second half of robot." And I'm like, "This kid was smart the whole time." I'm like,
But also, he comes from the Stan Lee school of acronyms, which is you pick out a cool word and then you build the acronym backwards.
oh
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
oh totally, yeah. I wouldn't call it the Stan Lee one. I would call it the Jack Kirby or the Steve
Yeah,
Ditko one,
you're
because they're the ones that actually wrote all that
Yeah,
stuff. But
that's true. Good
that's a
point,
separate
though.
episode. So.
They try to get him to say say the guy's name, and it's like, murr, 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 murr. Like, all right. Fine,
Yeah.
like here, let's hook this box up to it. That'll work. And yeah, they hook up Brawl's personality component, and he just starts trashing the place.
This goes nuts, dude. He's throwing stuff around, and so, like, God. So, and I'll tell you this. So they wanted to call the Protectobots here, and here's a reference, a completely obsolete reference that made me crumble to mummy dust at the age, because Synthwave Velma says the Protectobots aren't listed in the yellow pages, and I'm like, the yellow pages, what? And then, dude, oh God, the Chucky one goes, "We'll let the computer do the walking." Dude, I haven't heard "let your fingers do the walking" in like 30 years. And like, I was just like, no, like, a friend of the show at Trigger, one of our best fans, is a very young person. And I know that they're completely lost on this reference. And he
Right,
goes, like,
that was not a joke to them. That was just words.
yeah, exactly. Like, oh,
Yeah.
why is the computer walking? What is that? What does that mean? And
Yeah.
I'm like, and it was like, I haven't thought about that whole concept of, you know, let your fingers do the walking, you know, just like
Right.
thumb through the pages with your fingers, like their little legs, like you're doing a you know, like a tech deck, you know, whatever. You can do some tricks,
Look,
but
man. Part of life is everybody thinks the stuff from their youth is the best, like
oh yeah.
because that's what you connected with. But emphatically, slogans in advertising from the 80s and the 90s, just killed compared to the crap we get today.
Oh yeah.
We don't even really get anything,
I can't
really.
think of any. I can't
We
think.
just get ads for drugs where they list symptoms and they co-op some song.
Yeah,
Oh,
that's not wrong.
Ozempic, just stuff like that. Advertisement was so much better in the 80s
Oh
and
God. Oh, we got all kinds of cool jingles and stuff, man. Those jingles still
yeah.
exist. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, there was something that came up with Boo and I doing some comic episodes somewhat recently about the slogan for like the I don't know the old Bell slogan was like almost as good as being there or something like that. It like
Man.
those kinds of slogans still they ring true, man. You think about that, it triggers a memory because we heard it so much. And that was like Reagan's America, man. That was time for this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, speaking of comics, the most depressing thing about picking up a new comic today is the ads, because they're all just for like 45-year-old dudes.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because that's who's buying it, but they really don't think a 45-year-old dude wants to buy gum.
A
Guys, sell me
Hostess
some
Twinkie,
gum.
man. Come on.
Look, man, I mean, the old Hubba Bubba gum fighter ads from the
Oh,
from
yeah.
80s, they had a whole page of how to stand when you had a
Right.
gum fight, a duel with blowing a bubble with bubble gum. It was great.
Right. Dude. I'll be
Yeah,
honest, man. Like the ads when we're doing those old issues of the Transformers comic, they're so good. yeah.
Especially the really terrible, scary kid in the back who's trying to get you to buy Transformers with the he's wearing some terrible like red line jacket. Looks like it belongs as extra in Blade Runner.
Right.
It's so good. I miss those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But now we have, yeah, like you
Just
said,
get a photograph of the thing now is all you get. But you
terrible.
know what you don't get in comics though are biological blobs, because Swindle calls his dude the junk card a biological blob. And this poor guy here, this guy, he looks like every background character in like in a 1970s Marvel comic. He probably would
Yeah.
have been selling you some boots, some of those Chuck
100%.
Norris jeans that stretched when you did the karate kicks. But there's a big battle with it was Ironhide, Bumblebee, and some other dude.
Gears.
Gears.
Of all the three to show up after you're hoping for like the Protect Bots and Defensor, you're having some of the great fight and Gears, Bumblebee, and Ironhide show up.
Well, I
Bumblebee
mean,
and Iron.
Gears does have a part in Transformer history, is that he's the first Transformer to team up with Spider-Man.
Very good.
Wow.
Very true.
Okay. But dude, Bot is better than every Decepticon at fighting. He mops the floor with these dudes. He's doing like John Woo stuff and like using like
Right.
environmental stuff and all that, and like knocking the floor out from under him and reflecting lasers with like walks and stuff. This is great. He completely houses these dudes. They have no chance. He's better than literally every Decepticon. Like
Yeah.
it's one in this one thing.
I love it. He throws on like this vat of butter with like 4 ears of corn at them. I was like, what?
The corn.
It was
In
like
my
this.
notes, I just says corn in capital letters. I know scale drives you nuts. This is a high bar, but I think this episode might have the wackiest scale of any episode ever.
You might be
Like
right, because
far.
the
Like just
corn is,
Transformers running upstairs.
yeah,
You
and they're
know,
different
like
sizes and
okay, with Bumblebee and Gear, sometimes they'll portray the mini bots as being just slightly bigger than human. So I'll forgive that. But Ironhide's a full-grown boy.
right.
Like he should not be able to run upstairs.
No, he's a grown man. He's
And
a grown man.
stairs to nowhere, stairs to in like a lighthouse. Why did this like high school have lighthouse stairs?
Oh, that was. Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah, I must say that was another building, but I think that. But you're absolutely right. That was the. Yeah, it was. I don't know, man. It was weird. But I'd say it was weird. Like at this point, like the plot with the Decepticons was just gone. I thought we were just running wacky like high school episode. And
No, and the Ironhide Gears and Bumblebee are like they like aiming upwards, and Ironhide's like start shooting. They just start laying waste to the top of the tower place they're running to.
Well, yeah, there's another building. There's like this abandoned, fallen apart building. But see, then those two dudes drag that poor girl in there. And I know what when two dudes are dragging one girl into an abandoned building, I know what's gonna happen in that. And that's not good. I don't like
This is
this.
family friendly. Yeah, we don't do that.
Particularly these two dudes.
Those two,
These
I
two
know.
dudes who can't not smile. They're
Yeah,
always
it's kind of
smiling.
creepy. Yeah, man. So my friend, my best friend has this theory that the neighborhood that we grew up in, like there were things called heavy metal sex houses. And you just I say
Whoa,
that,
okay, hold on.
you know
What?
exactly what I'm talking about, right? So it was these houses where like these metal kids lived and their parents were never home. And so like that's what
Okay.
happened in these houses. And I think
Or worse, it was a single parent and they were in on
you were in on it. Yeah.
it.
That was it. Like, it's fine. Do whatever you want to do. Just don't just take RoboCop out of my LaserDisc player and don't scratch it. Don't scratch it up. Because it was a dad that had a like a satellite dish always, a boat.
I mean, I dude, I have one of these stories I don't even think I can tell on our podcast. It's no. I would just say it was the first before this word was ever invented. When someone I first heard the word edgelord, I was like, oh yeah, that's Asa. Oh yeah, Asa who tried to get me to play D&D with him, right on. And who by the way
I actually know that dude, but
who by the way wouldn't let me play when I decided my character's name was going to be the Cheese Daddy. He's like, no, your character can't be named the Cheese Daddy. He's like, okay,
He's
well then I'm not
joking.
playing. If I can't name my character the Cheese Daddy, I'm not playing.
Well, related to that, my same best friend, the first time he ever played with us, he was that type of person as well. So he decided to call his character Sir Piss a lot, and I got mad because he couldn't. I told him he couldn't be a sir; he had to earn sir.
So he could be Piss a Lot. He
Right?
just had to be
But
Mr. Piss a Lot for a
he can't
while.
be sir.
See, I would accept that totally. That's reasonable logic.
I love that that was my comeback though. I was like, this silly name is fine, but you can't be a sir. You can't be a sir. You can't.
That totally checks out for Ed.
Yeah.
That's an Edism.
Why is that decrepit building here, man? Because like everything else in this whole city is nice, but there's this one building. Like, bro, if this was Sim City, you just got to right click and bulldoze that building. It doesn't belong. You got to get that out of there, man. That's not.
So one thing I did love about this is the ticking, the audible ticking, and then Swindle said, "I
Yeah.
love that kind of sense of trip." It's like you see him look around the corner, and like
Somebody
they,
must have been like, hey, they're going to forget there's a bomb in his head. We need to add
yeah.
some ticking here.
I forgot it was a bomb. I forgot it was a bomb.
Well,
But
you know it's getting
that
closer
kid's
and
getting
closer because the ticking's louder.
well, yeah, no, well, yeah, but I mean, I had forgotten at that point. But one of the bad kids goes, man, this is too complicated. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And
Yes, 100%.
but then
Meta commentary.
he goes, we should have just taken the F in science. But I heard it. I was like, should have just taken the F in science. Like, I was like, the F in science, what? Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? So, but we get back to the Decepticon plot, though. Like, they haven't forgotten about this. So, yeah, they want to mess with the
This
tides again. I don't, man. I don't know.
whole okay, this whole episode at this point, it feels like one of those Doldrum season two episodes, like the girl who loved Power Glide. And then they stuck that plot right in the middle of this plot. And then oh yeah, we got this episode. We got to finish this episode up. Oh well, let's forget about the kids right now. Let's do this thing. And then like, well, we got to include the kids in it somehow.
Yeah,
It's yeah.
there's too much going on. There is a cool we're back in the city. There's a cool sign for a drink that's just called E. It's a big can with E on it. And so my name's Ed. I really like that drink because I'm a big fan of
E.
Larry. Yep. But the Protector Bots have a building they live in. And
Man, this is my thing. Why are they the only Autobots who get their own place?
Well, like I said last time, maybe they're like franchised out to cities, like they go around and do this like civil defense stuff. I can buy that, but what the Autobots just have this problem with doors where they won't put one on the Ark. These guys, they don't. There's doors there, but they just use the whole facade of the building as a giant garage door so they can drive in and out. And I'm like, surely there's a more inconspicuous way to do this, to have
Man,
it.
this just hit me. Maybe that's how the Great War, how it started. Maybe that's the real divide. Decepticons believe in doors. Autobots do not believe in doors.
Facades. Well,
Best
yeah, also you think
practice.
about well think about scale here. So they all hang out in this like little firehouse together. What do? They just hang out in a room together because obviously the thing's not big enough for them to be in robot mode and run around and do things in the city.
Right. Yeah, they just sit there and look at each other.
All right, guys, we got a call.
It's like a command center. It's like Ghostbusters headquarters. They just stand in a center and they wait for stuff. They play cards and stuff. And I need like Robot Janine in here somewhere. That would have been
it's
cool.
like the firehouse episode of King of the Hill. There's wacky adventures. There's a beer
Right.
line.
So somehow we get like we get back to it. Like they form Bruticus, and but now he's bad. Remember before he was the most powerful thing, and Ironhide just shoots him with his little pistol, and he blows him apart with one shot. This is
Well, there's no plot armor. I mean, he's lost complete plot armor now.
But they said earlier in the plot that
Yeah.
only Defensor was the only guy that was strong enough to handle him.
At that moment, yeah.
At that moment, what did he power down? Like what happened? What happened here?
Probably left a piece out. Yeah, they go in like they bring the disruptor, I guess, is like was what was so the canon MacGuffin of the episode to go
Yeah.
shoot at the Autobot headquarters, and everyone converges, and Bruticus tries to shoot it, and then goes haywire and starts shooting Decepticons, and oh
And
god.
by the way, this device that was supposed to move a moon just kind of throws Starscream and Soundwave around.
Yeah. Just
Although Soundscream lets out one of the best screams ever in this when he gets knocked around. It's like
that
piercing. I love it.
was good. So they form Defensor. The Decepticons form Defensor, and then they make this force field. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Okay, that works. So he defends, so he's got a force field. This is cool. And so it's on theme or whatever. So the Decepticons are up on a cliff. They're up on a cliff again. Like
High ground.
cool things happen from cliffs, right? But they're just like raining fire, like lasers down on him, And then like they're doing this, and Megatron just goes, Decepticons, ceasefire. While they're shooting, it's like he's got a force field.
Oh.
It's like,
And then they do the brilliant tactical decision of just waiting for him to turn the force field off.
yeah, they
Because
show.
this chump is like, oh, they stopped shooting. I
I
can
can
turn off my
turn it
force
on.
field
Yeah.
now.
Yeah, a force field always needs something like, because it like, okay, you're invulnerable with the force field on. So, like, you need something. There needs to be some kind of justification for it. Like, if I'm running the force field, I can't do anything else. Like, because it's so much like a drain on the energy or something like that. You need some
Yeah.
kind of justification for it. So, I don't know. But yeah, and Bruticus just shoots the Starscream because, with the that moon blaster thing, because the kids have hacked it. They've hacked the whole thing with
Well, they've got bot down there moving the
the
controls
bots, and
around,
they're
and
like
I guess
moving
can't
things.
override the dude down there doing that. And
Yeah.
they're
And
all happy, and she's saying all kinds of her weird plot or speech patterns in the base, and
you're right.
right,
He's
it's
really,
pretty
it's really
awful.
at that point where I was like, okay, these guys were right about her. She's annoying.
Oh, she, yeah, she's
Just take
awful.
the F in science.
F in science, what?
That's gonna be the episode title.
That's it, and they beat them, and they go back to the Ark, and they're like, yeah, cool. And then these two dudes put tape over this girl's mouth and drag
Oh.
her away, and that's the end of the episode.
And the Autobots are just cool with it. They're like, all
Cool with
right,
it.
on kidnapping. That's
Well,
cool.
they went back to that abandoned building. How about
Yeah.
that? Oh, God. Yeah.
There's probably a Iron Maiden like cloth banner hanging in that house somewhere, in that building somewhere. Judas Priest.
Some knockoff vinyl blacklight poster.
Oh man, boy, Frank
One of
Frazetta.
those like Def Leppard mirrors.
Oh.
Jason, over there where I'm pointing, I have a Grim Reaper mirror from the fair, the See You in Hell cover, made famous on Beavis Butthead. This was an episode. This was a 22-minute episode of Transformers.
This happened.
I will say that Kid Brain probably would have liked seeing this a lot, because there were a lot of combiners in this. There's a lot of combiners
Right.
doing combinery things in this, and that's very cool. You got two combiners, and new you got a new combiner but I would have been confused because I didn't know who this guy was.
Right.
The battle at the end was actually pretty cool. It was kind of rushed, but that was kind of neat. So I mean, Kid Brain would have been, this would have, I would have come home from school and watched this and been like, that was fine, and then gone and played with toys or read comics or made a another D&D character not called Sir Piss-a-Lot. So I mean, Kid Brain's gonna go three novelty ice creams out of five. Because it was fine for what it was, fine for what it
Great.
was. Three chicken nights, three, I don't know, choco tacos, whatever. Adult Brain, on the other hand, I thought this was an absolute mess, and it gave me a headache, and I don't like having headaches. I did not enjoy it. I thought there was too much going on in this, and the jumping focus thing was like, I don't know, man. And we say a lot on this show that, like, man, this could have been two episodes split into two. And in this case, I think this could have been like multiple episodes. You could have had like a serious Ultimate Doom thing going on, and then you could have had like the bumbling high school silliness going on in another episode or whatever. I mean, I don't know. There was some kind of funny stuff in it, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of a mess, and I definitely now that I know this is the final episode of the season, I think this is definitely not the way that you want to end this. I think a cool like two or three parter would have been a better way to end it. So for that reason, I have to sadly give Bot one Hangman Adam Page Buckshot Lariat out of the ring so that I never have to watch this episode again. And congrats, Hangman, on retaining the world title. So where you guys at?
It's weird because as a kid, I was very pro MASH. Like, my family always watched MASH.
Same.
But I can get the MASH reference as a kid. I can remember distinctively not liking this episode. There was too much of the high schoolers, there was too much of the little fat robot. So I think Kid Brain probably gave this two I'd like being a doctor if it wasn't for all the sick people. But adult me did get the MASH reference. And even though the rest of this episode was a mess, I did mark out for the MASH reference. So adult me is going to give it four. Hawkeye wasn't traumatized about a chicken. The chicken was really a baby.
Wow, four.
Four,
Just
just for the MASH reference. That
on
alone.
the
This
okay.
episode was awful, but I marked out for the MASH reference.
I thought the MASH was cool too. I was a fan of MASH as a kid also, so
Huh.
yeah.
Man, I don't know. That's pretty generous.
Yeah, I think it's
This
generous
is
too, but I mean, but then again, I'm a guy with a freezer full of chicken ice cream, and so I mean I can respect a lot of things. So I can respect a lot
I can
of
keep
things.
you here until everyone else sees it in your house.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
I want to be
the
clear, that's not an endorsement that anyone should watch this episode.
Oh
It killed
no.
brain cells.
Oh
I just
no.
really enjoyed the MASH reference.
Earl Kress must have been like, I got all these ideas. I need to use them before the season two's over. We got one episode left. Well, they're all going in here. And so that's what happened here. The
Yeah, man, all these episodes here. Let's make them all.
the best part about this was Swindle. It just him being skeevy and being Swindle was the best part of this episode. The kids were the worst part. I mean, I you
Right.
know, there's no it's no stretch to say the humans in a Transformers show are terrible. These were some of the worst ones. But
Right.
I mean, honestly, I don't know, man. You losing the plot armor on Brutus kind of ticked me off, and
Right.
then the Protectobots hanging out. I actually want to know more about them besides them getting lines every so often. But we didn't get any of that. But as long as we got to go see Swindle be Swindle, I was good enough with that. So with that, I mean, I give this 2.5 dictators living in barges at the port out of five. That was one of the best parts of the episode too. No, he's a
Yeah.
friend.
Well, that actually was pretty.
I will agree. I should have mentioned the swindle stuff, even though this is a terrible episode, it really sets up for what will be one of the most fun characters in Transformers.
Oh, easily. Easily. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else really going on in this episode that was worthwhile.
Right.
And probably the last time we'll see last time we'll see certain characters in the show.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the last time we'll see Gears.
Oh yeah.
We'll see Bumblebee again. The next time we see Ironhide's going to be pretty smurfing rough.
Yeah, I can't wait for Ed to see
What a
that.
shirt there.
That's gonna be fun to watch. But yeah, guys, we're gonna, I guess, let's go and call it here so we can get some dinner and some fried chicken ice cream. But we're heading up to the we got, I'm waiting on an email about the movie, so we'll figure out how we're gonna do this. So until then, that time, we'll kind of play it by ear. And thanks everyone for checking us out. Give us a like, give us a follow. And if you like to listen to old guys ramble about nerdy stuff, this is where it's at. And complain about the lack of ads in comic books. That's what you get, guys. Get good. They're $4 a comic now. You don't even have good ads.
Right.
All
Four
right.
dollars.
For a good indie comic?
$4 for I haven't
Yeah.
bought it. Like, I haven't bought like a comic in like a very, very long time. Like, $4.
Yeah, and an issue of like an Image comic is like $3.99.
Yeah.
That is insane.
That is insane.
It is.
Good
Like,
God.
considering you guys are largely, I think, this the same age as me. So when we started buying, it was probably like 65 cents, right?
Pretty hot. Yeah, 75 cents when I first started collecting
Yeah.
comics. So it was like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've always kind of like, I usually break down like economic stuff by like, how much that costs versus like hourly rate, like the average like hourly, wage I would have been making when I was buying that thing. So like when I first got, like, I mean, when I started working, that was like, in the early 90s, so I would have been making like, $4 an hour or something like that. So I could have bought, so for an hour's work, I could have bought like four, I could have bought four comics.
Right.
So I mean, like, and I mean, so what minimum wage is, what, 7.15 or something like that now? Like,
Something like that. I The federal
yeah, so I
minimum
mean,
wage, yeah, it depends on where you're
yeah, so
at.
I mean, yeah, if I was like a 16-year-old kid, working in a pizza place again, and I was making $7 an hour, I could buy not two comics.
Right. You could buy one comic and then work into the next hour for the second
Right,
one.
for
And
yeah,
you,
for another one then.
at least by then you can go into the quarter bin over at TBS.
Well, and I mean, comparison wise, the bean burrito, which is what I compare economics by, the
Okay.
Taco Bell
That's
value to,
fair. That's fair.
it costs about roughly twice as much as what it did when I was in high school.
The bean burrito when we were in high school was 59 cents, because it was a 59.79 menu back then.
Yeah, okay, then maybe I don't know, maybe low, maybe like 2.5 times, because I think it's like $1.50-ish now.
Oh yeah, that's not too bad. But I mean, the thing is, and I hate to make this like old guys talking about like economics,
My fist at the sky.
but I remember back at Taco Bell was where you went for cheap food,
Oh
right?
yeah.
Even just a few years ago. And
Well,
like my son and I went the other day, and we got we just got like, I don't like, I think I got like a Mexican pizza and like a taco, and he got two tacos and drinks, and like $25.
I mean, I used to say that when people said, "Oh, I get sick when I eat Taco Bell." No, Taco Bell didn't make you sick. You made you sick. 'Cause you could walk into Chick-fil-A or McDonald's and put down $7 and you get a meal.
Right.
You walk into Taco Bell and put down $7 and you get a huge bag full of cheese diapers.
Oh, you got, yeah, tons and tons of stuff. Yeah.
Like you made you sick 'cause you ate everything you could eat with that $7.
Well, okay, I'll say this about Taco Bell is that the thing about the weird thing about Taco Bell is that it stresses me out to order there, because like I never know how much to get. Like, especially back in the day, where I'm like, do I want two tacos? Do I want six tacos? Do I want two tacos and two burritos? Do I
Right.
want what do I want, chips and salsa? Do I, like, and there's so many things. So it was like, even the combos, I'm like, I don't know that I want that combo. And
Right.
I could never decide. So it was like I don't know, like I get this terrible paralysis like when I go there. I can't stand like going through the drive, especially going through the drive-through. It just completely stresses me out. So I don't want that. I don't like that. So
And I want to say, in regards to that, I'm not saying that didn't happen to me. When I went to Taco Bell, I always erred on the side of terror.
Well, that's
Like,
what I'm saying. Is
but I take responsibility for that.
yeah,
Right. Well, I mean,
you know what
you
you
don't
did,
get it, so you get everything.
right?
It's like that thing that I've said before, where I'm like, if I'm given the choice of two things and I can only get one and I want them both, I get neither, because I can't make the decision of getting them.
Right.
So like, well, I guess give me two of everything on the menu. And then you go home, and when you're it's like, you're off work at like 11 o'clock at night, and you're like, well, I guess I'm gonna guess I'm gonna watch Aliens again and sit here and eat taco. And you eat the whole thing. And yeah, of course you're sick because you just ate a bunch of grade D beef eating watching Aliens. And
Right.
you watched Aliens on top of that.
God, that sounds amazing. That's like good old days.
I mean, yeah, what you described to me kind of sounded like pornography. I want to go do that right now.
Well, I mean that was just pre-marriage life for me. Was
Yeah. Yeah,
that.
man. Actually, no. My favorite thing was going to Whataburger late at night on Burgess, like there on Davis and Burgess. Man, that was my favorite place to go. I'd get off work and just get a big old chicken strip meal with a Texas toast.
I lived right by there for a long time, so I could just walk there
Oh yeah.
at 2 in the morning. And yeah, so
Oh, it was
I
perfect.
lived
in various places surrounding that, and that was also my go-to late night spot.
That's a good one.
So good.
So
Yeah.
yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, I
The
guess
whimsy
that's it.
about bad fat food can wait for another time.
I'm gonna go eat
Next
some
week,
burgers.
Transformers the movie. Very
Yes.
excited.
Coming up. So, all
Yep.
right, everybody,
Yep.
y'all roll out.
See you later, y'all. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.